Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What's good, War Room Nation? Welcome back to the best roundtable in sports. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. And we are the company that is revolutionizing the revolution of sports media. Me, I'm Jimmy, a.k.a. Jim Duncan, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Jimbo Slice. And today, we have a special show. My comrades are not with me. They're traveling the world spreading the War Room Sports gospel. But I have some special guests. From the season ticket, I have Mojo, who's in the house. And also, from the NBS, Nothing But Sports Show, on Black Flag Radio, I got my homie Hustle Simmons, and we have a great show for you today. It's NBA Finals time, need I say more? In about 20 minutes, we'll be talking to light heavyweight boxing prospect Rock Blackwell about his upcoming fight on June 15th in the UK. You can join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Or join us on Facebook or Twitter, and we're at War Room Sports, of course, just to join into the conversation. Call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, and it's 323-410-0012. Before we get started, want to send a couple shout-outs to Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line. Check them out every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Also, shout-out to Brandon and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio. Check them out Tuesdays, 9 p.m. They're also on Blog Talk Radio. And don't fret, if you can't catch the homies live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication. We're on 3 times a week on Fridays on newviberadio.com. We're on at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. as well as 7 p.m. And also on Sundays and Tuesdays, check us out on factsradio.com. But it's time for the rundown, so guess what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to let everybody know what happened while they were on the grind this past week. And for those that don't know, while you were on the grind is brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll. And guess what? For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. She's treating patients in the D.C., MDVA area, DMV as we call it, and beyond. Visit www.alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. And don't forget to tell them War Room Sports sent you. Before I jump into these topics, Mojo, Hustle, what's good? How you doing today?
What's good? Let the lady go first.
Absolutely. You ready to talk some sports?
Most definitely. I got my face paint on. I'm ready for war. Let's get it.
No doubt. Hey, the first story I want to bring up and get you guys' opinion on is Mookie Blaylock goes from life support to stable condition after being charged with vehicular homicide after an Atlanta car accident. Now, Mojo, you're in the ATL, right?
Yes, I am.
What are they saying about this car accident and what's going on with Mookie Blaylock?
Well, originally it was, you know, a really somber situation, like he's on life support, you know, he might not make it. And then there were, like, reports of they had been treating him for seizures or whatever. So it was the assumption, like, maybe he had a seizure behind the wheel or whatever. But then now everybody is like, wow, it's turned into a whole vehicular homicide, and he jumped the median, and he had a suspended license, and the buzz is going crazy. When you get that lawyer, you know, that lawyer from Ray Lewis, and that lawyer from more recently, Shaniqua Hosclaw, then you know it's some drama. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's about to get real, huh?
Right. You got the Johnny Cochran type on your team, so you know, it's going to be real serious. So we just waiting to see. But, you know, I'm going to keep my ear to the streets. down here, so I keep us posted to this local craziness that's going on.
Hey, Hustle, what do you remember about Mookie Blaylock, if anything, as a player, and did you hear anything about this story?
I actually found out whenever it first broke. I mean, Mookie Blaylock was a solid point guard. You know, I'm not going to say that he was a great point guard, but my standards are really high. So, me and you already just huffing at Jimmy about, you know, Hall of Famers. He's definitely, he was a good player, you know. I mean, I think it's a very unfortunate situation that happened. I mean, I don't know the full details of the story yet. I'm happy to read up on it maybe after this show. But, you know, I think he was a solid player, man, for the most part. I mean, the Hawks were pretty good under his tools, and plus he played with the Kimmy Mutombo. They had a pretty good run, but, I mean, they ran into
the he was solid. He definitely wasn't, like, a Hall of Fame level player, but he was solid. He was good defensively as well. He was one of the better, you know, two-way point guards back then. He used to strip the hell out of people, you know. But this is definitely a sad story. Hate to see it go down like that. And like Mojo said, when you get – it's funny because lawyers get that reputation from being good, but it's sometimes – I've heard lawyers tell me that sometimes their reputation starts to work against them. They're so good that when someone hires them, everybody says, uh-oh, there's something serious about to go down. Like you said. Exactly. Well, Hustle just talked about Hall of Fame, and we all know Mookie's not getting into the Hall of Fame. But let's talk about someone else. And I hate to start to show off with all these sad stories, but Deacon Jones passed away at age 74 in his home, apparently from natural causes. Now, you know, I'm not old enough to say I sat and watched Deacon Jones play on a week by week basis, but I do study the game, and I know what kind of a beast he was, and I know some of the things he was credited for in terms of revolutionizing his position. What if you guys, you know, if anything, do you know about Deacon Jones?
Let the lady go first. There you go.
Go ahead, Mojo.
Thank you. That's the benefit to that lady stuff. Anyway, I can't say I remember anything because I'm not going to put my age out there to say that was weird. That was, like, way before my time. But as far as I can remember from what I've heard, he was like the man who revolutionized the sack, you know, like the sack master and sack the quarterback. So that's about it for me. I mean, condolences to his family, you know, and, yeah, that's it for most of
How about you, Hustle?
Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't able to watch him, you know, personally or anything like that. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame before I was born. I mean, but my uncles, my great grandparents, they told me about it. It was like, me, you already talked about this, Jimmy. They said, imagine Reggie White back in that time. If he was anything near Reggie White, I mean, he had to be an all time great. He had to be Hall of Fame. If he's anything near, I mean, like I said, I've watched classic games. I've seen him set out, but a lot of players can set out in the game that, you know, I haven't watched him for a whole season, long period of time. But the games I've seen, he definitely caused a lot of ruckus in the game. But I was like high praise, and my uncle told me that just imagine you different.
Like, absolutely, that's some of the highest praise you can give someone. Because in my personal opinion, and I know a lot of you know, my comrades agree that Reggie White is probably one of the top three defensive players to ever play the game. And,
Most definitely.
Deacon Jones kind of revolutionized the position. And another story real quick. I'm trying to get past all these sad stories, man. But Jim Kelly, who I did watch play a little bit growing up, was diagnosed with cancer in his upper jaw. But the good thing they say is that he can have surgery to have it removed. You know, what do you remember about Jim Kelly? Anybody remember anything, you know, about Jim Kelly specifically?
Ladies, I'll let you go first on almost every topic.
Oh, no. I'm about to you this time. I'm still thinking.
Go ahead, Hustle. What you got on Jim Kelly?
Well, as far as as far as his cancer, let me say this. I've lost a lot of people to cancer, and, you know, my condolences go out to him. I hope he gets full recovery from that. That'll be a look. But I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Hustle, you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know, but you sound a lot better now.
Okay. I don't know if I would say he's a Hall of Fame. I'm not trying to poo-poo on this whole situation. Say he's a Hall of Fame. He's a very good quarterback. But
you're breaking up again, but listen, I kind of got the gist of what you were saying. You're breaking up, but here's the funny thing about Jim Kelly, and this is my personal opinion again, which I like to spew out in the airwaves, but if he would have won just one of those Super Bowls, I think his entire body of work would have been looked at different. He was definitely one of the best players of his generation at the quarterback position, but he was outshined by guys like Marinos, the Elways, the Montanas. But if you look at his numbers and also his body of work, even though they lost all those Super Bowls, four straight, you know how difficult it is to get to that level, to get to that championship? If they would have just, if Norwood's field goal kick would have been a little bit slighter, closer to the right, I mean, Jim Kelly's entire career probably would have been looked at different. But because of the fact they never got it done on the big stage, a lot of people feel that same way that you do, Hustle, but definitely a top-level player.
Yeah, you know
I think.
Go ahead, Mojo.
I'm sorry. I you know me. I'm a jokester. It's just weird for me that he comes out with cancer of the jaw after this revelation by Michael Douglas this week about how we get. Is that weird that popped into my head?
Listen.
I mean.
No, it's not, because I thought the same thing. You know, Michael Douglas messed the game up. I ain't stopping, but anyway, but, you know, he kind of messed the game up. But, so I think that if they would have got just one of those games, if they would have won just one of those games, his entire career probably would be looked at different, but nonetheless.
I can agree with that.
You can't go back and change that. You know what I'm saying? Now we got some of these sad stories out the way. Let's talk about some ratchetness. Or if you want to call it that, and that's Floyd Money Mayweather, who laid down a $5 million bet on the Miami Heat for the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7. Now, it's kind of funny because I think that Floyd does this a lot of times just so he can take pictures and post to Instagram and all his social networks, because he does this all the time with a lot of his bets. And supposedly he won over $6 million back. So, you know, what you guys think about Floyd laying it? What you think about Mojo?
I don't believe it.
I mean, took a picture of the cricket and showed it.
I guess. It's just hard for me to believe that somebody put up that. But we talking about Floyd and the money team. So, you know, it's possible. But like you said, it's just for the flash to be able to post a picture saying he did it. Like, it ain't like you put that money up on Indiana. You know what I mean? Then I would have been in class.
You're saying so what? You bet on a favorite? Is that what you're saying? It takes no guts to bet on a favorite.
Like we know you got money. You it's the money thing. We know you got money, so we know you can bet any amount of money on a game. But you're not impressing me betting on the favorite a whole lot of money. That's a given to me. Now if you would have bet on Indiana and then they would have miraculously won, then I'd have been like, wow. You know, you did something, but I'm not, like you said, a lot of times it's for show, and then show pictures on IG and all of that, and
You know, it's funny because my brother Dev, who's not on the show this evening, he's out in Vegas right now as we speak. I think he's putting down $5 million on San Antonio, but he has his theory. He thinks that that Floyd has a certain amount of money that he laid to the side, and it's the same money every time he shows it and just carries it around. And it's kind of part of his marketing. It's part of his marketing because, you know, he does get a lot. He gets a lot of attention, you know, for all the drawn things he does with his money. So it's probably a write-off. Hey, Hustle, what you think about the story of Floyd dropping that kind of change on that game?
Well, let me say this first of all. I don't condone gambling before I throw that mistake. And second, I definitely don't have Floyd Mayweather money. I don't think that many people do have Floyd Mayweather money. With that being said, I can believe him because me personally, I bet a lot of money on Miami too, and I won a good bit back on that last series, and I got a lot of money on Miami going forward against San Antonio. So I mean, I don't think he's lying about it. I really don't think he's lying about it. I mean, I understand what she's saying. You know, he bet on the favorite. But, I mean, why wouldn't you if you could win some money back betting on the favorite?
Yeah. I just find it creative how he uses his, like, you know, that to market, because, you know, we live in a generation where people are idol worshippers. So when he puts stuff like that up, you see people go off. Oh, the money team. You see people claiming the money team that hadn't met Floyd a day in their life. And he does this to appease them. And, you know, it's funny because it kind of works. I know you guys follow boxing, but if you remember when he was, you know, Pretty Boy Floyd, he got nowhere near the amount of publicity, attention, or financial compensation that he did since he created this character, because that's what it is. But and that's part of his character.
But, you know, it was a story on Yahoo Sports that one of the big bookmakers in Vegas was like, they doubt if he would have been able to make that much of a large wager on one game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I saw
people
that.
Like, think about Vegas. The reality is, they bet. It's about gambling, but they really not about giving away money. So
absolutely
to give you the opportunity to bet that much, to make that much, you know, it's kind of
it's funny because thinking about it, I didn't see all the pictures he posted. I saw the one picture of him at the window with the cash. Like, but
yeah,
generally speaking, if you look at his IG, he usually posts actual receipts and tickets from other bets. Like, I've seen him bet $50,000 on a college football game. You know what I mean? $80,000 on this. I don't know if he put the ticket up for this one. So
yeah, that's what they were saying. That usually he posts a picture of the ticket, but this time he didn't.
He
made me feel like.
He, like y'all said, he's getting what he wants. We're talking about it, and that's
exactly
all
he wants.
That's what it's about. But then again, you gotta think. Like you said, with the way people, idols and like I said, sports figures shouldn't be role models, but these kids do look up to them. Y'all, you putting it out there like, yeah, take all this money and go gamble with it. Like, we know you got it to blow, but the people who don't got it to blow is doing the same thing.
Yeah, and you know what? It's crazy because it's a whole different level of idol worship now than it was. I know when I was a kid, of course you look up to certain athletes or entertainers, but I didn't have access. I couldn't follow their pictures or follow their thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, put up on a whole nother level. So, and, you know, that's a story for another time. Yeah. Real quick, though, you're right. You made a great point. All the social media, that's exactly what it does. it turns it up to another level, because now you get to, let's say Floyd's your favorite boxer. When I was coming up, you know, Tyson was that guy. I can only imagine the kind of stuff that Tyson would have put out. Or imagine if Charles Barkley had Twitter when he was in his prime and he was out of his mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. So I can only imagine the kind of stuff that he would have said and done. Imagine if AI had Twitter when he first came in the league.
You talking about
practice. Exactly. Anyway,
it'd have been a practice hashtag forever. Like,
absolutely. Forever that hashtag would have lived. Real quick, though, one thing we like to do on a weekly basis is send some birthday shout-outs to people in the sports world who are having birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
And these birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like to hear a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, and click on the DirecTV logo. Listen, football season is upon us, and you got to get the Sunday Ticket. And we got the hookup. So just go to warroomsports.com and click on the DirecTV logo and get your NFL Sunday Ticket. Now, people having birthdays. Saints receiver Marcus Colston turns 30. Shout out to him. Former Cavs center Zydrunas Ilgauskas, a.k.a. Big Z, turns 38. NFL kicker Orlando Franco Mare turns 40. And former tennis champion Bajan Bor turns 57. We'd like to give a nice big War Room shout out to all these gentlemen on their birthdays.
My birthday,
okay, before we get to our interview, I want everybody, check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us, info@warroomsports.com, While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy Warroom Sports merchandise. That's right, we got T-shirts, hats, all that. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter, at Warroom Sports, of course. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast. We're on Stitcher as well. Download our free mobile app, which is being upgraded in the next couple weeks. That's right, we're on Android and iPhone. And watch all of our videos at WarroomSportsTV.com. As I said before, we're revolutionizing the revolution. Also, join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, which is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted, and, you know, we'll bring you on and talk to us. Before we get to our interview, I want to say a couple things. We follow a lot of combat sports. We watch MMA as well as boxing, and one of the things we pride ourselves is finding the next up-and-coming talent. So this interview we have is with a light heavyweight guy named Rock Blackwell, who's up-and-coming. He's making big moves. Before we get to the interview, my special guest, I have Mojo from the Season Ticket and Hustle Simmons from NBS, you know, Black Flag Radio, nothing but sports show. Real quick, tell everybody about your shows and how they can get in contact with you online and where you do your thing. I mean, the Season Ticket has like a popping Facebook page, so how can people get in contact with you, Mojo?
Yeah, right now my actual radio show is we on a little hiatus because I'm looking for co-hosts. I know you got a whole bunch of sports fans out here, so
yeah, hit up Mojo
on radio.
They can holler
at me
show.
On Facebook, right? Facebook.com/theseasonticketpage, the Season Ticket page. And if you search for our Facebook group is way more active than the actual page, which is crazy. But it's the Season Ticket. You'll see a red, white, and black logo that looks like a ticket, and you'll be able to chop it up with us. And talk sports. We got a lot of good sports heads in our group. And
okay.
I'm a lady. I love sports.
That's right. The first lady of internet sports talk. That's right. My sports
that
baby mom.
True.
Anyway, Hustle Simmons. Hustle Simmons. Tell everybody how they can. Tell everybody how they can hear your show, which is also on Blog Talk.
Man, look, you can go on Facebook, and we have Black Flag Radio. Come on Facebook, add us as a friend. We add anybody. We're trying to get anybody that wants to talk sports. Our actual theme, shout out to my boy Keo, man. He's actually my co-host. Y'all can follow him on Twitter at Keo_BMG, and y'all can follow me at Hustle2_Simmons on Twitter. Our whole theme is me and him, we basically bring on every week a new person to come on and debate sports with me and Keo, talk sports with us. Every week we like to bring on somebody new. You know, if you're from the West Coast, the East Coast, the South, if you know sports, look, I'm telling y'all right now, man, I challenge anybody to come on this show, man. It's almost set up like ESPN First Take, man. We come with gloves and we go at it. So Jimmy's been on, a couple other people from
that's right. I've been on, Dev's been on, B. Austin's been on. So we got to get into this interview. I just wanted to, let them give you, because basically, listen, we're co-signing them so you know it's good sports talk. Like I said, we've all been on, nothing but sports on Black Flag Radio. We're all active in the Season Ticket. So, you know, we're basically co-signing what they do. So that's why of course I've been on your show. Well, I know, when it comes back, I'm going to be on there again. But anyway,
yeah.
with that being said, we're going to come right back and talk some sports with you guys. But here is our interview with up-and-coming light heavyweight boxer Rock Blackwell. Take a listen and, leave us your questions that you have for Rock, because Rock is now a member of the War Room Sports family. But here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, lowlifes, boxing fans, we are proud to present in the War Room the future undisputed heavyweight champion. I'm stepping out there on a limb. Rock Blackwell, he's in the War Room with us. Give him a round. Give him some love.
What's up, Rock? What's going
What's
on?
Up, Rock?
What's going on? What's going on?
Welcome.
Pleasure to be talking to you guys.
First time in the War Room, but I'm pretty sure it won't be the last. It's the brother B. Austin. Rock, all great boxers usually come from an amazing story, and we assume that you're no different. Our listeners, being the avid fans of the pugilistic arts that they are, always want to know about up-and-comers. And with that being said, how did you get started in the sweet science?
Well, I started boxing at 7, and it's so weird because I don't even remember like what struck the interest. It was one of those things like it always been there. It's just something that I always wanted to do. But yeah, I got pretty much the same background as most fighters. Like, times were hard, you know what I mean? Had a single mom, and so, and boxing was kind of like the way out. But gotcha. it became realistic that I could like really do this when I had defeated this guy named Spencer Harshley from D.C. And at that time, he was like known as probably like the best in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped him in 3. So when I did that, I was like, okay, I think I can really do this.
Now the funny thing, Rock, is you know your in your pro career, which you turned pro, I think in what, 2009?
Yes, in 2009.
Yeah, you turned pro in 2009. So you're currently 15-1 with 13 knockouts. The one loss is debatable. I mean, we understand the story, broken hand, different things going on in the personal life and personal world. We know that you would have probably whooped his ass had that not been going the case.
Yeah, and issue with dehydration in that fight, too.
Yeah,
I tried to get a rematch.
Yeah, we need that rematch to happen. Tell us about your amateur career, because that's one of the things that I found most impressive. You had 159 amateur bouts.
Yeah.
Sheesh!
Yep.
Yo, you was fighting like a Mexican, brother.
Yeah, man, we was fighting. Yeah, man, we was fighting sometimes every week, sometimes several times a month. And
you was fighting every 2 weeks like the Rector Pilot, huh?
We was putting in work, man. We was going everywhere, man. We was all over the area just jumping on shows, boxing.
So as you heard, my brother Jimmy just came up with a new moniker. When you in the war room, you rock Direct Deposit Blackwell, because he was a pirate from the camp.
In 2 weeks and he ready.
Yeah, no, I was also noticing, this is Devin, I was also noticing that you said you can't remember what struck the interest. Now, all of us, we're from Philly, so, you know, when people start to fight
Joe
young
Frazier.
In Philly, it's most likely because, you know, they had to. You know, you got to learn how to protect yourself.
Right.
You being from B-more, like, you know, that's not the same story out there in Baltimore?
Yeah, you can
remember. Sometimes you got to learn how to throw the hands.
Yeah, they get down out here, man. They get down out here heavy, man. I just remember, I don't know, I was young, and I used to always watch, like, a bunch of fighting movies. And,
right.
You know what I mean? I was, like, just real interested with like, the whole craft as a kid.
Right.
And I begged my mother, like, Mom, please put me. So mother, she wasn't feeling it at first. She was trying to get me, like, play the piano and all this other crazy stuff. All
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, speaking of that, you know, being young and watching fight movies and fighters, which fighters inspired you the most coming up? And what, if anything, have you incorporated into your style from each one of those guys who inspired you?
I'm a Mayweather fan, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down. I fight like Mayweather. Fight like Mayweather, you know, shoulder roll in the Philly shell.
Yeah.
And I just think Floyd's a genius, man. I think, you know, he's hated. But he learned how to make boxing work for him.
Yeah. You know I mean, I think a lot of people dislike Floyd because of his out-of-the-ring antics, but I can't find somebody who can legitimately say that their hatred of Floyd has something to do with him as a boxer because, you know, there hasn't been a better boxer in this generation than Floyd Mayweather.
Absolutely.
Rock, I'm going to keep it 1 million with you because you War Room family. I think that Floyd Mayweather is probably one of the greatest technicians I've ever laid eyes on. However, I fall in the group of people that would be considered detractors. So if you ever listen to the show, I just want to keep it real so you don't hear me on air and say, hey, that guy was all, you know, he was all, yo, I think dude coons it up outside of the ring. And I can't really mess with him, but I do give his talent and his skill, you know, all the respect that is due.
Hey, Rock, but you made the greatest point. You said that he's found a way to make it work for him. And the fact of the matter is, you either got people that, you know, want to see him lose or those that want to see him win. But at the end of the day, all of us tune in.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm trying to see him lose.
That's good for his direct deposit. So.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's exactly the point. All of us are tuning in for different reasons, but we all tune in, though.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he a genius because he's like you were just saying, you know, either way he's like, whether if you like me or don't like me, either way you're going to watch me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the point, man.
You know what I mean?
So, with that being
so
said,
he's like, either way you're my fan.
Yeah. So, let's talk about your upcoming bout in the UK, you know, this month. You know that you're fighting a Russian gentleman, you know, hopefully not Ivan Drago, but... In terms of your opponent, what do you know about him in terms of his strengths, his weaknesses, and what kind of strategy are you going to use going into this fight?
He's a rugged guy. Like he fought the last time I was there, and that's actually how the fight got made because he was on the card. He was on the same card as me, and but he fought a different guy. And after the fight, they were already trying to match us up. So I took the fight. He took the fight. But he's a rugged guy. He's flat footed though, and he's kind of like a brawler. You know what I mean? He kind of like opens up the brawl, but he's gonna get stopped. I plan on punishing him and stopping him.
I like that.
That's what we like to hear. The Russian gentleman.
I mean, that's what happens
in
to those,
flat
footed guys. If they're not gonna hit you hard enough to do damage and they're going to stand there in front of you, then they're going to have to take what they get.
Yeah, he's one of the dudes, you know, he's going to stand right there. He's going to take what you give him. He's going to try to give something back, but, I mean, too fast, too slick for that. He's going to get that, so I'm punishing him.
I heard that.
You know what I mean? I plan on punishing him.
We're going to use that as a sound clip. Rock, what you going to do to him? I'm going to punish him.
Like the clever line, prediction, pain.
Pain, yeah.
All right, so, this is Devin again, Rock. Outside of, you know, your next bout, let's look down the line a little bit. What are your ultimate goals in the game of boxing altogether, and where do you see yourself in maybe 5 to 10 years from now?
I want to be, man, this is a great question because I was just talking to Evan about this. I want to be, like, legendary.
Word.
So, well, my first thing I'm trying to accomplish is, of course, become a world champion. And then I want to be the greatest athlete from Baltimore, probably like ever.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Unrespected.
Yeah, so the ultimate goal is not just to be a great boxer, but I'm trying to be, like, a great human being. I want to...
Right.
Travel the world and help a lot of people and encourage a lot of people. You know, reach out to the people that are struggling and all that great stuff.
Yeah.
Like a people's champion.
Be
that's what's up. Because I mean, you set the goals high and lofty. You know what I'm saying? With goals like that, even if you were to fall a little bit short, I'm pretty sure you'll still be remembered. You know, as a people's champion and a genuine good guy. So that's what's up. I commend that.
Thank you.
No, absolutely. I'm just to buttress and piggyback the point. You know, I have nothing but admiration for the goals that you're setting for yourself because at the end of the day, the thing that makes you know, athletes and celebrities and those that we look up to relatable and truly important is, again, how relatable they are to the people. You know, if you're able to show, look, this is my story. This is where I came from, just like you, and I made it, then that gives them the hope to pursue whatever their goals and dreams are. So that's important,
absolutely,
man, and that's big to be able to stand for something, much along the lines of a Muhammad Ali or a Joe Louis or, you know, someone that takes their craft and uses it as just a brand enhancement because the true brand is helping others, you know. And that's, You know, that's what I don't see. That's a void that I see in boxing.
Absolutely.
And even sports at large, man, our athletes and our people that come from our community, a lot of times you have to ask yourself, what do they stand for? You know, what are they about? And you know, that's big, man. That's big. Kind of switching gears a little bit, Rock. We all love to speculate here in the War Room, you know, and we want to speculate on dream matchups. So we want to step away from you and the Rumbles a little bit, and you're going to give us your opinion on who would win in these matchups in their prime. So I'm going to start off with Ali versus Tyson. Not Tyson after Custom Model, not Tyson when he was smoking the water in the dippers and on the roofie and all that. I mean Iron Mike. That would look at cats and they would leave. I mean, Iron Mike walked down the street one time on Howard's campus and I crossed the street and I ain't a cat. But I ain't want to bump him. I ain't want no problem. So Ali and Tyson.
I'm gonna have to go with Tyson. I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because Ali struggled with Frazier.
Frazier. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Frazier and Tyson is kind of like Tyson is like a 10-time better version of Frazier.
That's a good point.
Frazier,
that's a good point.
Frazier was, you know, low, came forward on Ali, and you know he was a brawler, and Ali struggled with him. I mean, he knocked Ali out one time. So, and Tyson is.
And his punching power was amazing in his prime.
Right.
But you know, so, you know, everybody out there listening is going to think that's blasphemous. But we're not allowed to say that, but hey.
Listen, yeah, we can't
respect,
say it, but you know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, in sports circles, we're not allowed to say anything. Anybody can beat Ali. But what we practice here is, you know, being 100. Speaking your opinion, you don't have to, you know, go with the masses and what their view is.
We definitely
I feel that.
Because, you know, in sports circles, you can't say anything bad about Ali or Jordan. If you do, then, you know, it's crazy. So. I talk bad about Jordan all the time. Anyway.
Rock didn't say nothing bad about Jordan. Rock didn't mention Jordan.
I mean, anytime I get a shot, get to take a shot at Jordan, I got to do it. So even if we're talking about Ali.
Take a shot at Magic, I got to do it. But I'm going to do it. The next one that we thought of was your man, your homie, Floyd Mayweather versus Sugar Ray Leonard.
Wow. That is a tough one. Floyd and Ray. Oh my goodness. Oh man, I'm gonna probably have to go with Ray Leonard, man.
Wow. Might
have to go with Ray Leonard.
War Room Sports, this man speaks his mind.
I had to bet.
Why?
Bet Ray Leonard. Cause,
why?
Only reason why I say that is because Ray fought Floyd Sr.,
who
stylistically the same as Floyd Jr., and, you know, Ray took it to Floyd Sr., so... Which makes me believe that maybe he would do the same to Floyd Jr. If they fought, you know, if he fought Ray in his prime. And then Ray fought some gangsters, man. Ray fought, you know, Thomas Hearns and all those guys, man. You know, he put work
Hearns,
on them.
Hearns, Hagler, Duran. Murderer's Row.
Right.
You know what, though, it's funny, B, you said, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I just couldn't pick against Floyd just because I've never seen him lose in my life, so it's hard for me to see him lose anything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
true.
I get your point stylistically, though. But I think that he was such a better athlete than his father that, you know, maybe that would be the difference. But who knows? It's just hard for me to pick against somebody I've never seen lose. Me and Dev was talking about this before we got on. Like, it's hard to pick against a guy that you've never seen, you know, really lose.
Mm-hmm.
Only seen kind of in trouble maybe once.
Absolutely, that is true.
And that was a lucky shot.
That is true.
Even Shane thought it was lucky.
Shane thought he won. When he made the hit, he looked at his girlfriend. He looked at his girl and was like, "Yo, I did it."
Like Martin when he pulled Tommy Hearns.
But
Yeah,
well, moving,
man.
Moving on, Rock. We got two more for you. So,
okay.
Jack Johnson versus Joe Louis. Go ahead.
I don't know how you answer this. These dudes are ancient.
I ain't answer that. Ooh. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
though. Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
You're back to
Man, Jack and Joe. Probably Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson.
They said that dude was massive, and I've seen a few of his fights, and they said his punching power was unbelievable.
Plus,
he had all the white women.
Yeah.
And that's an advantage in that damn league.
I'd be awesome. Yo,
shout out
one.
To all the white women that are listening.
This last one is this is the dream fight of them all.
Yeah,
the last one.
This is. I actually have my personal pick in this, but I like to hear who you're going to pick in this last dream matchup. Roy Jones versus Rock Blackwell. Talk to
Man, I would never say a fighter is better than me, so.
There you go.
There you go.
Roy, if Roy stepped in them ropes, he got to get it.
There you go.
He got to get it.
Last time I saw Roy fight, he was laying on his face anyway.
Are you saying in his prime?
Right
now, I definitely got you beating.
Oh, right now? Roy getting his work.
Yeah.
Oh, after Beyonce, you mean in his prime when he was fighting civil servants like cops and firefighters?
Back when he was chicken fighting. Yeah.
Got you.
Oh,
hey,
man.
You know, Rock, let's close on this question though. This is Jimmy, by the way. And this is a question that we ask all boxers. Bottom line, who is the greatest of all time in your opinion? Outside of yourself, of course.
Greatest all time. Wow, that's a great question. Most people roll with Ray Robinson. They think Ray Robinson the greatest of all time. I think if Floyd can pull these last five fights off, I probably would say he's the greatest of all time.
He finished those off undefeated. There's no way that you can't. Put him at least in the argument, so, yeah.
Right. Now that you brought that up, though, let me ask you a question. What do you think about his upcoming fight? I mean, there's a lot of buzz around, you know, the Canelo fight. What's your opinion of the fight?
Oh, that's going to be a tough fight. Canelo's a good fighter. But I think Floyd been in the game a long time. I think he's gonna figure out a way. And then now he has Floyd Sr. working with him again and Roger working with him. And I think he's going to find out a way to beat him. He's going to figure out a way to beat him. Floyd, for some reason, can figure out a way to beat whoever. But I think if Floyd can do it, I think he'd probably be the greatest. And the only reason why I say that is because he's done the biggest – he would be undefeated. He'd be, a 9-time or 10-time world champion. And he's done record-breaking numbers. He's the highest-paid athlete in the world right now. So
his overall impact, you know, will go into making that argument. And right now, you know, his impact is crazy on the game because, you know, a lot of times, unless Floyd Mayweather's name is attached to it, just the casual boxing fans aren't even interested.
Right.
People still screaming for Mayweather and Pacquiao had already kind of lost a couple of times and got his name even taken out of that mix.
But even beyond that, it's like when I hear young fighters such as yourself, up-and-coming fighters, and even Adrian Broner, who say, you know, they came up watching Floyd and kind of emulate his style, it's amazing. Well, for one, it showed you how long he's been around.
Right.
And, you know, for two, it shows you his impact. Because now it's to the point where you see people emulating his style, and that's when you see, you know, that someone's actually great. Like, you know, people emulated Ali or even other sports, look at Michael Jordan, or you start seeing people emulate their style. That shows their impact is big, even beyond the sport.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And Rock, a little birdie actually had landed on my shoulder and whispered in my ear that, you know, Mayweather Promotions and the Money Team isn't outside of the realm of interest for Rock Blackwell, and that some conversations may or may not go on for you this summer with them. Is that, you know, can you speak on that?
Yeah. I talked to, you know, some people and sat down and talked to my friends about it, and we just decided to just, you know, kind of like stick with our own in-house family,
but
still have the affiliation,
right?
You know, go out there and train and, you know, that type of thing.
See what's up, right?
Yeah,
right.
You know, but I definitely,
the affiliation can't hurt.
Right, absolutely. No. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, definitely best of luck to you in all endeavors, man, and you and
thank
the
you so much,
family,
man.
Now. So do your commercial. Let the listeners know how they can find you on the internet, follow you on social media, and remind them the date, location, and opponent of your next fight.
I will be fighting June 15th in Glasgow, Scotland, and I'm fighting this Russian guy. It's going to be a tough fight. The fight's actually going to stream live. I'm gonna send Warzone the
War Room.
I'm sorry. I'm sending War Room the link. And you can contact me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook at King Rock B. I'm on Twitter at Rock Blackwell 68, and I'm on Instagram at Rock Blackwell. And shout out to the War Room, man. I appreciate y'all. We family, man. And, you know,
oh,
War Room, where it's at.
No doubt.
All right, when you send that
thank
link
you,
out, no, we'll send it out so everybody in our social networks can watch the fight if they choose to. Like B. Austin said, man, best of luck to you. Go out there and get that win, get that knockout.
Absolutely. I'm going to put that work in. And,
get
you know
him
what mean?
Out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm going to do it for the War Room, man. Do it for everybody. We're going to I'm going to put him on his back.
No doubt.
No doubt, Paul. All right.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, take it easy.
All right, you too, man.
Rock Blackwell, everybody. Make sure you check him out. Just go to our social networks, our Facebook page and our Twitter page, at War Room Sports, to get more information on him and look out for him on the horizon.
Yeah, everybody, that was Rock Blackwell, up-and-coming, you know, fighter in the light heavyweight division. Make sure you check him out on Twitter. He's also on Instagram and everything. And we'll put some information about Rock on our Facebook page, like we just said. Don't mean to reiterate that. But anyway, let's just jump right into some hot topics. And these hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks. You can kick back and enjoy all kinds of books and have someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for a free trial. That's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to anything, hands-free, stress-free. There's over 500,000 titles on Audible. As of right now, my most recent Audible book is like the Phil Jackson book called 11 Rings, and he's like pooping on most coaches, yo. But it's definitely a great book, and Phil Jackson is breaking down his philosophy of basketball. And it's crazy because, I mean, you guys have seen Phil Jackson coach, right? But when you see him talk about certain games and certain strategies, it gives you a different appreciation for him as a coach. You know what I'm saying? Because we just see what happens on the surface, but all the thought that goes into the game. A lot of these great coaches, and we'll talk about another one later on the show, they put a lot of thought into the game. Anyway, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You can actually get that Phil Jackson book for free if you choose to do so, because that will give you a free trial. Now, first story I want to talk about is DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson has fired Drew Rosenhaus, and everybody knows how powerful Drew Rosenhaus is, with the hopes of signing with Roc Nation Sports. Now, we see what Jay-Z is doing. But here's my question to you, and Hustle, I'm going to start with you on this topic. Do you think athletes are signing with Roc Nation for the right reason, or is it a lot of these athletes have grown up with Jay-Z as, you know, their favorite artist or mogul, what have you? Do you think they're making the right moves? Because you see a lot of people just leaving, you know, big-time agents who have gotten them paid. What's your opinion on this?
See, let me say this. Jay-Z, I have no problem with the athlete signing. Maybe I'm, like, the minority in that. I have no problem with the sports figures signing with Jay-Z, only because if you look at as far as business, Jay-Z has succeeded at everything he's done. In the streets, he succeeded. In the rap game, he succeeded. Even in the business world, he's succeeding.
So, I mean, if I'm an athlete right now, if I have a son or a daughter that's an up-and-coming athlete, I mean, until Jay-Z shows me that he can't basically prove his work, that we can make money doing this, I have no problem with the athlete signing with him. I think it's actually a good signing if they can get DeSean Jackson does sign with Jay-Z. That's my honest opinion. I know people are going to think I'm crazy.
Now, listen. Now, I actually, before I even get to you, Mojo, I just want to say that I agree before. It's a little bit of a different reason, because the one thing that he didn't succeed in, a lot of people don't know that he tried to do the whole sports agency thing before, and it didn't work out. But the difference is he learned from his mistake, and the thing that a lot of people are not looking at in terms of this whole Roc Nation Sports is its affiliation with CAA, which is the top agency in the world. He signed a partnership with them. So from everything I've read, the Roc Nation will be more of a marketing arm, and CAA will handle, you know, everything else. So he kind of learned from the first time around, and this time he did it the right way by partnering with actually the top agency in the world in CAA. But Mojo, did you see that DeSean Jackson is trying to make this move too? What are your thoughts about the athletes that are going, you know, the way of Roc Nation Sports?
I think it's a good thing, but I think that it's some truth to what you said about them possibly doing it, quote unquote, for the wrong reasons, you know, because of their fandom, you know, stand status with Jay-Z. But you can't lose. And it, like you said, he's in partnership with CAA. It's not like they signed it with Jay-Z as a sports agent who don't know nothing about being a sports agent.
Yeah.
Jay-Z is the face, just like he was the face with the whole Nets situation. You know what I mean? He got a whole bunch of Brooklyn Heights.
A lot of people
with the Nets. And nobody knew he had like a 0.1 or 0.01% stake in the company. You know what I mean? So I see the athletes signing with Roc Nation in sort of a, like, you know how in the music business is like the 360 deals where it's like, they hand in a little bit of this and then a little bit of that. You know what I mean? They see it as more than just the opportunity to have the sports agent from CAA marketing with Jay-Z, who can't lose, seemingly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The connection in hip-hop, fashion, everything else is like a combination with signing with him. It's not just being with a sports agent.
And then, you know what, though? And that's why this was a smart move on his part, in terms of jumping into this lane as opposed to, you know, his minority stake in the Nets, because he can definitely make a lot of headway with this company because, like you said, CAA is there. People have this, like, this thought that he's in there negotiating contracts and signing paperwork. He's not doing that. But at the end of the day, a lot of these athletes, and we talked about it earlier, we live in a society of hero worship. A lot of these people worship Jay-Z. Let's not get it twisted. The fact of the matter is that's going to get him, like, certain athletes. And they're going to come to him. They're going to look for all those other things, like, you know, the way into the hip-hop world, the fashion world. And that's why, in my opinion, this was definitely a smart move, because Jay-Z, if anything else, some people like say he's a business genius. He's not a business genius, but what he's smart enough to do, and, you know, you may call him a genius for this, is leverage what he has. He's the master of leverage. He leverages his brand and his name.
Right.
To do other things. He's the master of that. So, but in terms of DeSean Jackson, that came out of nowhere. Like, he fired Drew Rosenhaus.
But don't get it twisted. CAA know what they're doing. They benefiting from partnering with Jay-Z as well.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
From the
idol fandom type of situation, they know that it's certain athletes that they might not have been able to sign. But because they got Jay-Z as this face, and this front man and these people think they're going to be down with the Rock. You know what I mean? Throwing up the Rock sign like, Skylar. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
CAA knows that they could use Jay-Z for what they need him for, and Jay-Z knows that he could use CAA for what he needs them for. So it's a win-win going in both directions.
Actually, it's funny because I have this thought now. I'm about to say something that I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to say it anyway because that's what I do. I just wonder, you know, I wonder a couple things. With all these big-time agents losing their clients to a Roc Nation, what will be the backlash? Because they're going to have to try to figure something else out. Does that mean that now, like, you know, Diddy signs a partnership with Drew Rosenhaus. You know what I mean? Like, what is going to be
right.
their recourse if they keep losing people to Roc Nation Sports? And the second thing I wonder, and it's probably irrelevant, but I always wonder this anyway, and I'm going to put it out there. I wonder when CAA has, like, a certain client, you know, whether it be, you know, race or culture. Let's say culture, because hip-hop culture is not just African-American at this point.
Yep.
Like, if you sit
right.
down with the Eli, if SAA ever trying to, like, sign Eli Manning, they wouldn't send Roc Nation. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're trying to get somebody like DeSean Jackson, you're going to send Roc Nation. So it's
right.
sort of like a, you know, their urban arm, so to speak. But that's what's going on. People are actually leaving, you know, successful agents and agents that have gotten their money to be down with the Roc.
Right.
Anyway,
wasn't it a story about somebody trying to bring a lawsuit or trying to stop Roc Nation from signing people saying that Jay-Z didn't have the right training or whatever to be a sports agent? Like, duh, he's not the sports agent. CAA is the sports agent who has all the credentials. So, but that shows you what it's going to lean towards. You know, these established agents hating, for lack of a better word, on this deal that Jay-Z made and the benefit that it's going to bring to CAA. So they're going to have to turn around and try to do something to counteract that. And it might be a Diddy signing, or I'm trying to think who else is that big, because Jay-Z and Diddy is like one
yeah,
of
that's
people.
That's why
that's
like when you think SBA came my head, you know, unless you go to like.
Right,
you know.
And it's
and
like,
then, and then
why
business,
not?
Too. Definitely.
Yeah, so,
I just want to say this, you know, like y'all have been saying, I just think, like, you can, DeSean Jackson, a lot of these athletes are looking at, like, okay, we can cross over. Like, people don't recognize DeSean. Some people might not recognize DeSean Jackson if you're not a sports fan or a Philadelphia Eagle fan. But
mm-hmm.
as soon as you see him
right.
with Jay-Z or you see him throw up that Roc sign, it's like, oh, he's with Jay-Z? Well, who is he? And then you might start Googling, start looking him up, like you said, you know, social media, start talking about him. And so it's expanding his own brand as the same time as extending Jay-Z's brand. Like, Jay-Z is a very, very powerful
right.
man. Very, I mean, you talking about the button-ups. When he talked about doing button-ups, everybody started wondering about what a button-up.
That's the truth.
I mean,
right.
Jay-Z
was like
was
when he was wearing jerseys, everybody was there.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. It'll benefit the teams because people who didn't know DeSean Jackson, now DeSean Jackson is down with Jay-Z. Now the Jay-Z
yep.
fans want DeSean Jackson jerseys because he's down with the Roc. So that's benefiting the NFL. It's a win-win. You can't lose.
You're right. And here's the thing, though. It's in football, right? Now, sports,
yeah.
we have hardcore sports fans. Like, all of us are hardcore when it comes to sports. But the casual fan, when you talk about NFL players, there may be five, if that many, to
yep.
10 players that the casual fan knows.
Yeah.
Like, well, Ray Lewis going, that's
right.
one of them going. You know,
right.
they know Peyton and Eli. They may know Drew. You know, because he is in a lot of commercials. Paolo Malo, they don't even know him for playing football. They know him because of the hair. But there's only
yep.
so many football players out there that, you know, are known by the casual fan. So this definitely will help them. You know, they're probably more, in my opinion, they're probably more NBA players who are known by the casual fan than they are football players. And a lot of that
right.
is due to marketing. They wear their helmets. You know, Emmitt tried to take his off, you know, so he could show his face and league didn't like that. So, but and specifically, on a defensive side of the ball, there's only ever like one or two players that I ever known at one time. That's just what it is.
And then, like what you're saying, Adrian Peterson just rushed for over 2,000 yards, almost broke the record. I guarantee you, people see him out in public and don't know who he is.
I would guarantee.
But if they see him, in the next Rockaware ad, then they know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's that dude. Oh, he played football. Oh, really? Oh, now I'm a soft following. You know, like, ooh, now I'm a, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Vikings fan because I saw. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many.
Hip
hop makes the connections to everything. And if you keep
jumping, hip hop at this point is pop culture. Like, I grew up in the hip hop culture, so like, you know what I mean, like I'm a child of hip hop. You know, my parents didn't grow up listening to hip hop. I grew up listening to hip hop. So, but at this point, it's not the same. I'm young enough, but also old enough to remember when hip hop didn't come on the radio. It used to come on maybe 2 hours a week. You'd like stay up on Friday nights to hear it. But now, hip hop has become pop culture. So these people, and we also live in a world where everybody wants to. Everybody's concerned about their brand. I don't know whether it's a positive thing or a negative thing, because sometimes athletes worry about their brand more than they do their craft, which is a whole other argument. But
Chad Johnson, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And the thing is, Chad, it's funny because the more popular he became, the worse he played. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
that's a reality. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the world we live in, where it's about branding, it's about hero worship, and those two things go hand in hand. So I think that Roc Nation will be successful. But I just found it interesting that Drew Rosenhaus, because he's a very successful agent, I just want to know what the recourse will be from a lot of these big-name agents if they keep losing players to a Roc Nation. They're going to have to make a move. I don't know whether that's like, you know, reaching into the culture and try to use someone else or what.
It's going to be just like Diddy and his Vodka. And now the Vodka companies have Ludacris and everybody else in their commercials.
Yep. Yeah, every artist
Diddy
got a Vodka
grew up
company.
With his Ciroc, and then all the other companies who start losing money because we're not drinking that Vodka no more. We drink a Ciroc. Now they're like, oh, what rapper is available? What are we going to do? We got to get that audience back. You know, we got to get those people back. So it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same thing in the sports agent world. It's going to be like, oh, my God, because let's be realistic now. The majority of the best players in football and basketball are black. Hello.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. So if they feel like, dang, he going to get all the good players, you know what I mean? Because they got Jay-Z. They're going to have to find their leverage and find how they can compete, because it's going to start affecting their bottom line. When it affects their bottom line, then it's going to be, what's up with Diddy?
But you know what? Mojo, you're right, and the track record speaks for itself. If you use that analogy of the whole Vodka world, I didn't even know what Ciroc was until Diddy got involved. And at that time, Great Goose was like the drink of choice when it came to a Vodka.
Right.
Like, Great Goose was going to work. No one drinks Great Goose no more. Nobody.
Exactly.
If you hire up there, I mean, Jay-Z got people drinking Ace of Spades.
I mean, it's all about idol worship and influence, and these people are influencers within whatever, you know. Anyway, let's move to another story real quick. The Nuggets, the Denver Nuggets, have fired Executive of the Year, GM, his name is Masai Ujiri, and Coach of the Year, George Karl. How do you win Coach of the Year and then lose your job? But anyway, the Nuggets are moving, you know, in a different direction. They fired the Executive of the Year and the Coach of the Year. What do you guys think about this move? Do you think the Nuggets should have done it, you know, based upon how they ended the season? Do you think it's a smart move to go in a different direction? Hustle, I'll start with you this time. What is your opinion on this move from the, you know, Nuggets front office?
I think, honestly, it's not the right decision. Only reason why I'm going to say this is because George Karl's health issues have been up and down. We all know about that. And rumor has it, man, that Doc Rivers might leave Boston. And, I mean, if you can get a Doc Rivers to come in there, a younger coach, a healthier coach, I can't argue with it. They got Doc Rivers to come coach in Denver, which I think is highly unlikely. Let me say that. I'm just putting it out there because they let him go. So if you're going to let George Karl go, you have to have something that's going to make a big splash, a big boom, that people are going to be like, okay, now I see why you did that. If they can get Doc Rivers to come coach over there, then I have no problem with the move. If they don't, man, Denver might have pushed their winning percentages a lot down, far down.
But here's my thing, though. They also got rid of the GM, and he put together a team that overachieved this year until the playoffs. But, you know, and also going into the playoffs, they had a couple bad injuries, too. You know what I'm saying? So, but no one expected them to have the season they had this year. They got rid of him as well. So I don't know whether, like, there's anything that we don't know about that happened, but this is just an interesting move to get rid of someone as successful as George Karl. Now, of course, he had cancer a couple times, and he beat cancer and had a great season. Mojo, what is your opinion on this whole situation going on with the Nuggets?
here today, gone tomorrow.
You
was the man, homie, and now you're not. Like, it comes, when it all boils down, it's a business. They see that it's a lot of other good potential head coaches out there, you know what I mean? A lot of people lost their jobs this year. You know, it's like 5 spots open, I think, in the league. And then, you know, the ones that haven't been working. And to think it's just about money, like making that money available and trying to find somebody else that's going to get you more W's. The loyalty, the fact that he beat cancer a couple of times, that might have added to him winning Coach of the Year, you know, the sympathy factor. I'm not saying he wasn't a good coach. I'm just saying it could have been factored into him winning Coach of the Year. But when it all boils down, it's all about the money. And if they feel like they got the possibility of getting a Doc Rivers or a Brian Shaw or whoever's out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, his name is ringing bells, too.
Right. I mean, I would personally rather see Brian Shaw go to the Nets. But, you know, he's out there among other people. So, like, it is what it is when it all
blacks out
there.
Here's the crazy part, man. That is a rough business in coaching because you kind of know when you're hired that you know, you're going to get – it's not too many coaches that go off because they want to go off. Most of them go off because they just got fired. I mean, that's just – it is what it is. You know, everybody's not like, you know, a Phil Jackson. And it's funny because – people would have put George Karl probably on this pedestal, if not right below some of the top coaches. But,
definitely.
You know, it is what it is. Like you said, it's a business. I just found it interesting, like the exec, too. Like, there must be something else going on or they have.
Right, and as you know, there's always something behind the scenes that we don't know, you know, why, just like the whole L.A. and you didn't hire Phil Jackson because of this and you brought in, you know what I mean? Like, it's always something behind the scenes that we either know about or don't know about that affects these decisions. And it just came down to, so what, you won the award this year, you got to go.
And rumor has it that they're going to lose Iguodala, too, this offseason. Wow. So it's crazy. Like, I don't know if they're going to try to go – so it's going to be like, are they going to just rebuild all together? They're just going to be like, you know what? We're going to just stay young and we're just going to get better. Another name out there is Lionel Hollins. Maybe they make that move. I don't know. I just know that they just lost their GM, their coach, and they're about to lose Iguodala. So I don't know what the Nuggets are doing.
This is true. And you know, that is another name out there. I know he just talked with the Nets, but nothing came in that. Just thought it was an interesting decision. And I know George Karl's phone is probably ringing already. I'm in Philadelphia. As soon as this happened, the whole town was like, you see, we can get George Karl. Like, it was immediate. So, you know, it is what it is. Another story real quick. The co-rookies of the year back in the day were Grant Hill and Jason Kidd, and now they have decided both to retire together. Not together, but in the same year they both announced their retirement. Let me ask you guys a question. What will you remember most about each gentleman in their career? And, Mojo, I'll start with you. What do you remember most about Grant Hill and Jason Kidd?
Grant Hill was...
to me,
yesterday's LeBron to me. Like, he was the man. He was everything. Yeah. If it wasn't for injury, I feel like he would have been so much more. You know, he would have had so much more of an impact on the league from... being the golden boy in college to coming into the league and being a co-worker of the year. He was the man, and I feel like that those are those things you can't control. Like, injury is something that you can't control. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those that's always going to be, it's like, he's great with an asterisk next to his name. Like, with the always going to be the coulda, woulda, shoulda. Like, if he would have been healthy, then he could have did this, and that. And if he, you know, it's always going to be that. But he was great. He was great in college, and he was great for the years that he had before, you know, his knee gave out on him. And Jason Kidd will forever be my man because he took my favorite player, his handle, Gary Payton. Like, the glove is my man. So, and he always will be, and he always gives – you know, JCK all the credit for his skill, you know what I mean, his defensive skills and his handle and all of that. And Jason was the man. Like, I remember rolling with the Nets. I remember him with the blonde hair. I was like, dude, you're bugging.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, "Dude, what you doing to us? You're killing us right now." But you know, it never took away from his skills. So it's ironic that they came in together and going out together. But your time comes. They were two greats. I could put the F O. You know, y'all go through y'all HOF or FOH debate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's take that for another show.
yeah, no doubt. Real quick before I get to Hustle Simmons, I just want to say, Grant Hill, you brought up a lot of good points when talking about Grant Hill. People forget how dominant he was before the injury. He was on his way. You know, he was definitely one of the best players in the league before the injury. Had a stellar college career in Duke. I still remember that dunk he caught in the championship game, which was crazy. one of the best players that played both ways on the basketball as well. He was a great defensive player. And even after the injury, he came back and was serviceable the last couple of years and kind of made a name the year before last, like playing defense, just committing himself to playing defense and stopped trying to be so much of a scorer. So high basketball IQ is, like you said, is one of those things what could have happened if not for the injuries. But, again, you can't change that. Now, in terms of Jason Kidd, I'll never forget Jason Kidd. I remember watching him play at Cal, and you know, I grew up a Magic Johnson fan. I'll just admit it. Like, Magic, you couldn't tell me nothing wrong about Magic. And he reminded me of him in college, and the reason I say that is because I saw Jason Kidd dominate basketball games without scoring, and it's rare that you can see someone do that. He had that kind of talent and also work ethic. People don't realize that Jason Kidd couldn't shoot. In college, he couldn't shoot. When he came in the league, he couldn't shoot, but somehow ended up being third all-time in three-pointers made. How did that happen? It's one of the things, when he couldn't shoot, he still made clutch baskets. And he had those 2 years with New Jersey where he carried them to the finals. He was one of the best players in the league at that time. That's when he kind of peaked. He peaked in New Jersey because that team, he had like Kerry Kittles and those jokers on his team, and he carried them to the finals, man. So Jason Kidd is a Hall of Famer. I know that me and Dev have talked, and Dev said Jason Kidd is like the second best point guard of all time. You know, I don't know if I agree with that at all, but that's how high he holds it, because he just said Jason Kidd. Let me tell you what he told me. We've argued this, but he said that when you talk about all-around point guards, because Jason Kidd could defend, he turned himself into a scorer, which I don't know how he did, was pass first. So he definitely was an all-around great player. I still don't know if I put him ahead of, you know, certain other point guards. But, Hustle, what do you remember about Grant Hill as well as Jason Kidd?
Okay, well, first, I'm a Duke fan. So you know, I'm gonna give my props to my boy Grant Hill, man. I'm just happy that he didn't have a Penny Hardaway career. And I'm not being disrespectful to Penny Hardaway, because I actually like Penny Hardaway. But Grant Hill kept fighting back, and he played until he was 40 years old. I mean, that right there is a accomplishment of his own. I mean, I'm very proud of my boy from Duke. I'm glad he went to Duke, and I'm glad I can say that, you know, I rooted for a guy like that. I mean, it's very unfortunate that he didn't, play his whole career as healthy as he could have been. I disagree with y'all on one thing. Even though he's a Dookie, I don't think he's LeBron James. Now, let's not get it. Let's not get it.
His way. He may not be, because, it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that, right? Because I'm going to keep it a bean with you, right? I'm a Lakers fan, and I'm not like a LeBron. I'm not a Kobe Bryant stan to the point where I start slandering LeBron. You guys know, because I just told you, the reason I'm a Lakers fan, I grew up idolizing Magic. Couldn't tell me nothing wrong about Magic. Anyway, with that being said, I was having a conversation with someone today, and I was explaining to them that Kobe is not like LeBron. I'm not saying that LeBron's a better player than Kobe. Here's what I'm going to say. If you look at NBA history, there are only a couple players that kind of like revolutionized the game.
Yeah.
Magic, in my opinion, was a revolutionary player. Wilt Chamberlain was a revolutionary player. Michael Jordan was a revolutionary player. LeBron James is a revolutionary player. Kobe Bryant was sort of like as great as he is, was like the remix to Michael Jordan. Put it like this, right? We love hip hop. Michael Jordan was like the Chronic album, right?
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant is like the Chronic 2001. It's a great album, but because of the timing and everything, it's not the Chronic. And I know some people are probably like, what the hell is he talking about? But at the end of the day, you guys love hip hop like I do.
We get it, because we hip hop heads, right? So
Kobe's a great player, but the difference is the reason I say that about LeBron has nothing to do with his success. It's just that LeBron is kind of like the last two revolutionary players combined. He has the size and the vision of a Magic with the athleticism of a Michael. It's like, so that's what I mean by a revolutionary player. So you never know when the next one will come along, which will be sort of like LeBron. Like, as great as Tim Duncan is, I don't think he was revolutionary to the game of the NBA. I know people are cussing me out right now, especially like Laker Nation, but that's my honest opinion, though. That's my honest opinion. That, you know, he's revolutionary to the game. And I'm not saying that means that, you know, he's going to sweep the Spurs or win or anything like that. We'll get into that in a minute. But so that's why I get what you're saying when you say Grant Hill is not that. But people, I think the point that Mojo was trying to make is people forget how good Grant Hill was. And we know this from talking to sports fans all the time. They kind of dismiss the Grant Hill talk. They don't remember that Grant Hill was bringing Felis back. Grant Hill had cats wearing Felis. Like, Felis was gone. Grant Hill was balling inside of Felis deal, had jokers wearing Felis, man. Like, it is what it is, man. So, both of the – in terms of Hall of Fame, I think Jason Kidd is automatic. I mean, he has a championship now with the Mavericks he won a couple years ago. Grant Hill is on the border. We did an HOF-FOH on Grant Hill. I kind of thought that he would get in based upon his complete body of work in college, because he also played in the Olympic team, and it was – you know, dominant there as well. So I kind of thought he would, but he's kind of on the border. I don't know whether Grant Hill will get in the Hall of Fame. What do you guys think about that?
I think he's Hall of Fame, only because when it comes to basketball, it's not just the NBA.
Yeah, you're right. And that was my point, too.
And the crazy thing, like, with Grant Hill, because of his injury, you can't really see all the potential that he had, but he's like one of only six players to average 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in history.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a list that has LeBron, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Jerry West, and Oscar Robertson. He's in that list.
Exactly.
And you can't deny the player that he was if you on that list. It's only six people on the list, and he's one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
man.
That's crazy.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this. Where if Grant Hill was healthy, I know y'all, I mean, we can't go back and we can't say for sure, but how good do y'all think Grant Hill could have been if he would have stayed healthy?
Because here's the thing, that's crazy, because it depends upon what would have happened, because at the time, he was in Detroit, he really didn't have any help, he was carrying a team. But then he went to Orlando, it was. He kind of showed flashes again and got hurt again. And T-Mac on that team at the time, too. So T-Mac could have been, like, formidable, but, you know. And also, just real quick, also in our chat room, someone brought up another name who did revolutionize the game. I do want to give him a shout-out, too. Dr. J did revolutionize the game. So Dr. J is also on that list.
Most definitely.
Shout-out to Jetty Mar in our chat room. Because he's correct about that, because, you know, Dr. J kind of put the game in the air. So Dr. J was definitely a revolutionary player. But, yeah, the point I was making in terms of revolutionizing the game is that you can be – and that's no slight to nobody, you know, to say that you're not revolutionary. You're still a great player. Like, Kobe Bryant's still top 10 of all time. That doesn't mean that he's revolutionary. And also a couple couple comments that we got on Twitter at KCMax38, he says he also thinks that Grant Hill will make it. And one name on the list that you did, one name that you forgot to say, Mojo, I know you weren't reading off of it anyway, but was Chris Webber is also on that list of people to do that. And Chris Webber, in his prime, was one of the top all-around players, because Chris Webber could pass the ball, rebound the whole nine, so he's also on that list. But
do you think he's Hall of Fame?
I'll get back to you on that.
That right there is a whole different argument, and I would have to really think about that.
Wait,
I have to really think about that.
I say yes.
I say yes, but we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about that another time. Real quick, before we start talking about the NBA and the finals, everybody listen, check out our website, warroomsports.com, to call in and speak with us about any of the topics today. Call us at the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. If you want to talk to us, press 1. We'll bring you on. You can chop it up with us. And, you know, warroomsports.com, you can listen. You can go to Blog Talk and jump in the chat room and talk to us as well. We're taking tweets at War Room Sports. You can at me personally at JW the Blueprint, but, you know, send us a tweet or whatever. Shout out to everybody sending the tweets in. I got about 45 tweets telling me that AI's birthday is tomorrow. We probably was going to say that next week, but since I got so many tweets, I was going to say shout out to AI on his birthday tomorrow, because AI still got a lot of fans out there. But anyway, let's talk some NBA. And this NBA rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry or Palm phone. I don't know if anybody has a Palm phone, but I'm dying for someone to tweet me a picture of a Palm phone. I honestly don't believe no one still has a Palm phone. And by the way, BlackBerries are on their way out as well. But anyway, if you have those devices, you can listen to our show. Just go to Stitcher.com/The War Room. That's one word. And in the coupon code, put The War Room, because that will enter you into a contest, which will help you win some money. And everybody loves money. Now, with that being said, it's time to talk some basketball. You know that we're going to talk about the finals, of course, right? So, but before we do, we got to talk about what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's time to talk some basketball, everybody. All right, but you know what, though? I got to chop that, because Curtis Blow was actually one of the weakest MCs ever. And I know I'm going to get slandered for that from some of my older fans, but Curtis Blow is overrated in my personal opinion. That's either here nor there. Now, let's talk about Game 7 that went down in the Eastern Conference Finals. It was a complete blowout. Bottom line, what the hell happened, everybody? Mojo, what happened?
Hibbert.
Clearly. Listen, Paul George and Hibbert got shut down. They got shut down.
No, look.
D-Wade stepped up.
He wasn't banging hard enough down low. Pause.
we know where that got him.
I'm not gonna say what he said. I'm gonna say pause. That's
gotcha.
What I'm gonna
okay.
say. But
okay.
he just got shut down. And it's so many ways to go. It's been so many memes with this dude and his whole stupidity. I'm just gonna leave it at he ain't show up and he got shut down. And that's it. Him and Paul George.
Yo, and here's
the better team won.
And we all know what happened to him at the press conference and him saying no homo and getting in trouble and all that. But let me ask you guys a question, though. If he would have said pause, do you think the whole thing would have grown up that way?
Nope.
You don't? Okay.
Nope.
Not at all.
That's interesting.
Not at all.
Because we were talking to people this week.
Even though we know that it means, we know it means the same thing, and a lot of people out there probably know that it means the same thing, but verbally it's not coming across. You know what I'm saying? The same
way, in the
midst of the whole Jason Collins situation, it was a dummy move. Like, come on.
But well,
that diarrhea of the mouth, you know, dude.
The greatest pause in the history of pauses was in the NBA when Gus Johnson was interviewing Spike Lee. That is the single greatest pause ever, because it was so professional, it was so smooth that I had to like, yo, what did he say that? And if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, Google Gus Johnson, pause and Spike Lee. It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. But here's something. And I'm going to get to you, Hustle, too, but let me ask you guys a question adding to what we're talking about. Do you guys think that Roy Hibbert got, like, too full of himself in a series? Because some people said that. Like, you know, he became sort of a household name, but he was kind of, like, feeling himself. So, Hustle, I'm going to ask you, what happened in Game 7 and – what do you think about Roy Hibbert feeling himself?
Okay, well, first I'm going to tell y'all this. Game 7, man, what happened to him was LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh. Well, D-Wade and Bosh basically stepped their game up. And the bench of Indiana, man, if you're not talking about in chump time and nobody was playing time, Indiana's bench scored 8 points. You're not beating the Miami Heat in a game seven in Miami with 8 points off the bench. It's not going to happen. And I don't want to be disrespectful because I was one of the people that said that Paul George showed me something this series. But if you're going to tell me that Paul George is going to be a superstar or even a star in that matter, you can't score 7 points in a game seven. That's not. You can't score 7 points. That if LeBron would have scored 7 points in that game, just think about the backlash that would have happened after that game. If LeBron scored 7 points in a game seven, it would have been crazy. But yeah, Paul George, man, he's an up and coming talent. I think he's a very good player. I'm not gonna say a superstar because you can't score 7 points in a game seven.
Yeah, and but you know what though.
It's
like a common theme of the show tonight. We're talking about like hero worship and idol worship, and part of that whole culture is people all want to be the first person to say they said something or they saw something. So everybody's jumping on the Paul George bandwagon. So a couple of years from now, when he becomes the player that people think he can be, I told you years ago Paul George is going to be the. You know what I mean? So they don't even give players time to develop. Everything's the greatest this or the greatest that. Like we're all prisoners of the moment. Paul George, like you said, is an up-and-coming talent, but in my personal opinion, when I look at this series and look back, it's like the lights got too bright in Game 7. It's like that was do or die, and the experience kind of – they didn't have the experience. I mean, the Heat are battle-tested. Not only are they champions, people forget they were in the finals the year before that. They didn't win, but this is what, their third straight finals? People don't remember that. Like, so when you talk about playoffs – They're battle-tested. Yep. They lost to Dallas, right? They lost to Dallas. So, you know, they've been through these playoffs. They've been through close games and, you know, even going back to D-Wade winning the chip, LeBron playing the finals in Cleveland. So, to me, the bright lights kind of got to them. Another thing is Indiana had a successful season. They were playing with house money anyway. They weren't even supposed to be there, to be honest with you. So, you know, they were playing with house money, but...
Can I just say one thing? And I know you yes. Twitter might blow when I say this. I'm sorry, y'all. Roy Hibbert is... I know people are going to say, Hustle, you tripping. Roy Hibbert is not better than Dwight Howard. He's not the best big man in the game. They just matched up well with Miami. Roy Hibbert has 9 points. Roy Hibbert has 9 points. 9 points this season. 9 points. Don't give me that he's better than Marc Gasol and he's better than Brook Lopez and he's better than – yes, he can play defense. I take nothing away from him. He can play defense. But Roy Hibbert is not better than Dwight Howard. If we want to go do that, I mean, look at Dwight Howard when he played with Orlando and they played against Cleveland and they got to the finals. Dwight Howard dominated that series because they had no big man to stop him. And he had no big man to stop Roy Hibbert. So, of course, he did his thing. But trust me, Roy Hibbert, for anybody that plays fantasy basketball, don't think that you're going to get the numbers that you got in that series next year in the regular season with Roy Hibbert, because that is not true.
The reality of it is, like you said, Jimmy, experience. People minimize what experience brings to this type of Game 7 situation. Like, when it all boils down, pressure bust pipes. Like, if you've never been there, your mind, psychologically, you can't understand. You understand the impact of a Game 7, but you really don't. And what makes or breaks the real, true superstars of this game is being able to do it. Being able to step up to the plate and not score 9 points or 7 points in a Game 7 away from home. Like, if you would have got all the props in the world for me if they played really well, both of them. You know what I mean? They shot out they shot out the gym and got all the rebounds and then they went hard and then they lost. You get a whole lot of props from me. But when you disappear in a situation like that just tells me, one, you're not a superstar, and I'll put a yet on it, but maybe I won't, because you might never be. Those moments tell us who will be and who won't be and who's ready and who's not, and they weren't. And maybe time will tell, but like you said, I don't see them doing the same thing next year.
Here's the funny thing, yo. To me, Herbert be falling around too much. I've never seen someone that big just fall so much. Like,
flopping,
you
know, all day.
He's falling all around.
Get up off the court.
But I will say Frank Vogel's a hell of a coach. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a very good up-and-coming coach.
You know what? And the crazy thing is, though, we talk about experience, but now that they have that experience of taking the Heat to the Game 7, it's interesting to see what happens with them, like, you know, coming back, because you still got Granger on a books for, like, $14 million for another season. And when you look at the East, Derrick Rose may be back. So, and no one knows what's going on with Dwight, but they're going to be one of the top teams again next year. Do you think they can make this run again?
No.
It's hard to
say.
What do you think?
I say, Indiana can get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think. Because, I mean, the East is weak. Let's all be honest. Let's not lie right here on the air. The East is weak. Even if they would get to the finals, let's say Miami does not get a big man, which Miami would be stupid not to get a big man, by the way. But if they don't get a big man, let's say they beat Miami. Let's say Dwayne Wade is done. Let's just say next year he's done. He's not the player that he is even this year. I can see Indiana, but they're not going to win a championship. No, they're not going to do that. They're not that good. I don't think unless Roy Hibbert and Paul George emerge into something that everybody's saying they could have been, I don't see it, and I'm not being.
What if you think? Here's another good question I got for you guys. Do you think that Granger and Paul George can exist at the same time? Here's why I said. I've read some of the media from Indiana, and I read a story earlier this year. And it was interesting. It was talking about how when Paul George came into the league, Granger kind of took him under his wing and, you know, was teaching him about basketball and this is how to be a professional and, you know, just kind of like, you know, being his mentor. And they said because of that, it affected how they played on the floor together. George didn't want to, like, go full out because he didn't want to step on his mentor's toes. And they said once Granger went down, it kind of opened up the door for him to, like, fully blossom. So when I read that story, I was thinking, I was like, so what does that mean when he comes back? Does he jump back into the shell, or is now he like, look, this is my team? So I just find that interesting. I don't know how the chemistry will be. And if all that is true, what I read, is Indiana going to be looking to move Granger? Because that's a nice trade piece, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
The reality is, when you come back from injury. Right. When you come back from injury, you better bring your A. Like, it's up to you to prove that you're supposed to get that spot back or you still the man. You know, when you come back from injury. Right now, he got, even though it's costing them money to have him, like you said, that's a good trade piece. And they might be looking at George like we might be able to roll with him, so we don't need you no more.
Okay.
You know,
well,
when I look
question.
At that,
I was saying, with the story I just told you, as well as the success the team had this year, if you're Indiana, do you go ahead and move them? Like, if you're the GM tomorrow, Mojo,
I would.
Say, look, you got to get some more
people. I would, only because as a Knicks fan, I see the dynamic of having Carmelo Anthony and
they can't play together.
Even though when one is in and the other one is down, they doing their thing. Both of them on the floor. Once you get that type of feeling like I could be the man, it's hard to be elbow to elbow with somebody else that's the man or used to be the man or has the potential to be the man. It's hard. I can't see Granger coming back and being like, you know you was my son last year, so move over. And Paul George looking like, what? Go back to the bench. I got this. I'm good. Thank you for everything, but, So if I was the GM, I would move him because I wouldn't want to – male ego is a B.I.
Yeah, here's the thing, we have a great point just made in the chat room by Jetty Mar. He says that Indy needs to focus on re-signing David West.
That's what I was going with.
Yeah, he said he also will move Granger because, it'll change the chemistry of the team if he comes back. So focus on West and let Granger go. And I know there are a lot of teams that would love to have a Danny Granger, you know. Add Danny Granger to one of those teams, like the Lakers or something. Like, you could, you know what I mean? But, Hustle, what's your point about this whole situation?
Let me say this. I think would be great. I want to retract on my statement because I said that Indiana can't win. I'm saying they can't win with their team right now. Now, of course, if they add pieces around Paul George, Roy Hibbert, then, of course, they have a chance at winning. I think they need a point guard. I think they need a bench player that can come off the bench and provide scoring for them. But you know what I would really like to see? If they would move Granger and bring in Iguodala to play the three. Iguodala with George, that's two athletic wings that can cause a lot of hectic ruckus on the court on defensive-wise. Then you have Hibbert side with West. I think that would be an awesome move for Indiana. They can bring in Iguodala. They can somehow get Iguodala to Indiana to play defense with them and get a point guard. Just somebody more reliable than George Hill to me. I think George Hill is a good shooter. I don't know if he's a good point guard. That's just my take on things.
Jenny Moore, I believe Jenny Moore in our chat room is a Sixers fan. He said he would trade Drew Holiday for Granger and draft C.J. McCollum.
Wow.
You know, it's funny you say that because
that was
my response.
I don't do
that
move.
But, you know,
I don't do that move.
Here's the thing, though. The Iguodala thing, I might be the only person in Philadelphia who liked Andre Iguodala. I really might be. and the reason I just think that he was put in a situation where they wanted him to be the man, and that's not the kind of player he is.
Exactly.
He's a great all-around talent. I mean, the guy can defend. He's athletic. He can run the floor. So I just think that move you just said right there, that would be amazing if you could somehow flip Granger into Iguodala. Because him at the three, as athletic as he is and the way he defends and the way that Vogel likes to coach, I think that would be a great fit there. So they do have that trade piece there. Here's my last question about this series. At the end of the series, David West and Roy Hibbert were pissed, and they didn't shake the hands of Miami. Some people made a big deal about it, and some didn't. Did you think there's anything to this?
I think it's stupid.
Me?
And I think
it's not.
The reason.
Go ahead.
I think that, like I said, that makes or breaks a true superstar. Like, come on. You going to take your cookies and be mad and sit in the corner, like, with an attitude? Like, people win, people lose, but be a sportsman. That's why people wind up getting fined when they're like, I'm not talking to the media right now because you're mad, because you lost. Like, that's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's part of
it's
the game.
It's funny because I had a different outlook initially. I mean, not initially on this particular situation, but I've seen it happen in sports before and I always thought, like, who cares? But like I told you guys earlier, I'm currently reading Phil Jackson's book, and he kind of breaks down the whole concept of shaking hands. And he says that the one thing to this day that still pisses him off, although he has 11 championships, was when the Bulls finally got over the hump of beating the Pistons, and the Pistons didn't shake their hand. He said that still bothers him to this day, and it still pisses him off, even though this guy's an 11-time champion. So it's kind of like when I read that, I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And then as I'm reading the book, I see this happen. And it's also because of the way Roy Hibbert carried himself throughout this series. It's like he wanted to put this attitude on, but it wasn't tough. It was kind of like bitchish. I just made a word up. It was kind of bitchish. Like he was acting like, soft. He's soft, Duke. Like, what are you doing? And then, like, this just adds to it. Like, David West is a whole different type thing. David West has anger problems. So it's probably better off if he didn't shake hands. He might have swung on somebody.
He tried to break my neck.
What do you think about this thing, Hustle Simmons? Is it a big deal or not?
I'm a competitor. When I played sports, I was competitive. And you don't want to shake their hands. And I know that's sad to say. I didn't want to, but I did it because it's sportsmanship. Like, old girl was just saying. I'm sorry, I forgot your name for a second.
Mojo.
Mojo, I'm sorry for a second. But, yeah, man, it's sportsmanship. You have to shake their hand.
I mean, LeBron didn't shake him. Whose hand did he shake? It was Orlando when Orlando beat him, right?
Yeah.
A couple of years back, the media blew that up. LeBron didn't shake him. Dwight Howard's hand and congratulated him. It's a tough situation because you look at it like, man, as a competitor, the old school people, you know, they didn't help you up when you fell down. Now they saw LeBron shake hands with Paul George during the middle of the game. So it's a lot different now, but, I mean, when a series is over, I think, if it be me, if I'm raising my son and I'm telling him, man, you need to shake their hand, even though you just have to shake their hand and show sportsmanship. That's just but it's a tough situation because you don't want to lose. And I understand David West was very upset.
Yeah, he was very upset. Speaking of that, we got a question on our Facebook page. I'm asking this to you. A serious question. Somebody wants to know this. All right, it says, you know, we saw a couple, like, altercations between the players in the series, right?
Yeah.
Who do you think will win? Who do you think will win in a rumble between Birdman and Psycho T? Who you got in that fight right there? Who you got in that fight, Uncle Fleming? Birdman and Psycho T. Who you got in that fight?
I don't want to see that fight. That's too bummed. That's too bold. Like,
Mojo, who you?
Come on, man. Acting tough, man. Come on, man.
But if they win,
I'm going with Birdman only because he's crazy to make himself look like that. So crazy people act crazy. I'm going.
It is. But don't forget, Psycho T. First of all, his nickname is Psycho, so that should tell you something right there. You know,
right.
All right,
they're basketball players.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's another one. They said Udonis Haslam and David West got each other's face. Who are you taking in that fight?
David West got issues, man.
And we all know that, so that's not even a question.
And he takes up. And he does take up boxing in the off season. So
and MMA. He's also an MMA fighter.
And MMA. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. There's no way I'm. Anybody on the Heat's team, I'm taking David West.
right. Yeah, they might need a handicap match to mess with David West, man. But it was a good 7-game series. It's over. So, you know, we'll see what happens. In the chat room, they're taking Psycho T and his farmer overall. They got him winning. So, that's a funny question. But anyway, let's finally talk about these NBA finals. I mean, you know, we have the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat just came off their grueling series. But here's the one thing I do have to say before I even give any predictions is grown man ball is something they got to deal with because the San Antonio Spurs play grown man basketball, and they've had long rest to scout this Miami Heat team. So my first question is this, that long rest, what do you think? Is good or bad for the Spurs? And I'm going to start with you, Russell Simmons. Is the rest good for the Spurs or bad for the Spurs? Because people feel, you know, some feel good, some feel bad. How do you feel?
We talked about this on our show, and this is the way I break it down. When you say is it good rest or is it bad, you know, it's going to be rest for them. I look at it as game one. If you think that the rest was good, then you think the Spurs are going to win the game, in my opinion. That's the way I look at it when you say rest or rust. I personally don't think Miami's going to lose game one. I think Miami's going to win game one. So I think the rest will hurt them. I think they'll be rested in the first half for sure. And I think Miami will win the first game maybe by like 12 points tonight.
Okay. So you said the rest was kind of bad for them. So
yeah, the rest will definitely kick in.
Mojo, what do you think about the rest?
I agree. Yeah. Just sitting around waiting. I mean, granted, they not always just sitting around. You know, they practicing, but it's not the same as being in the game. And to sit and rest with Tim Duncan, he up there. He ain't no spring chicken. And, you know, Ginobili is my man. That's my favorite San Antonio player, and that's why I want them to win.
You know,
but
you need to cut that hair off, though.
Certain people with certain skin complexion have a problem with letting go of their hair.
Hey,
they don't always look the best.
You say that, but LeBron ain't letting his go either.
Wow.
You right. Point taken. You right. I don't know why. He ain't got the head, though. But anyway. I think Miami's gonna win game one because that's one part of the bad part, you know, in these playoff series. If you win early, you more likely to lose that first.
Yeah, the percentages are high in favor of someone winning game one. I think it's like 70-something%, and then if you win the
right.
first, it gets to like 90%. If I'm not mistaken, I just read it somewhere. But anyway, I think that when you talk the rest versus Russ scenario, it all depends upon the team. Like some teams, rest can be bad, but I think it could have been good for the Spurs just in the simple fact that they had some players who were nicked up. And also, Popovich is an X factor to me. Popovich is such a great coach that, you know, I think he's going to have time now to draw up new sets that the Heat haven't seen. Because one thing about the series, right, people forget this was also a controversy in the middle of the season when he didn't play those players. Remember he sent them home when they were supposed to play in Miami with Tim Duncan and all that? So, and some people were speculating then, like, he doesn't want to show them certain sets or he doesn't want to show them, you know, this, that. So now you're giving this guy who's considered a genius, like, a lot of times to, like, get in the kitchen and cook up something special for you. Overall, I don't know whether how much that'll matter, but I do think that we'll see some new sets and new things from the Spurs this evening. I don't know if it'll matter, but here's the thing. If they lose the game to the Heat, I think they would have lost the game to the Heat anyway. I don't think it'll be because of the rest. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. I think if they lose, they would have lost anyway because, you know, Popovich is the X factor. So with that being said, the one thing I do want to bring up now is to talk a little bit about Eric Spoelstra and just because I brought up Popovich because one thing that I did mention, we did a preview video on WarmSportsTV.com, and I gave Eric Spoelstra a shout-out because in me watching the games, remember, listen, everybody listening, watching the games, not watching SportsCenter. I noticed certain adjustments and certain substitutions that Spoelstra made in the last series, which were key and just, like, crucial. The whole he benched Battier, and Battier was, like, one of his rotation players. But
that's moves.
It was a mismatch. You know, he made a lot of moves. I see him growing as a coach. Let's put it that way. I see him growing as a coach. He may never get the credit he deserves because everybody's going to say, well, if you have Bosch, LeBron, and Wade, you should win. But at the end of the day, it still takes a certain level of coach to be able to use all those strong personalities and win with them. You know, Pat Riley. Because here's the thing. There's no great coach that hasn't had great players. People always talk about this coach had this coach that Phil Jackson had this. But listen, how many championships does Mike have without Phil Jackson? How many does Kobe have without Phil Jackson? So at the end of the day, it still takes a certain level of coach to make it work. I mean, Popovich has had Tim Duncan his entire coaching career. When Duncan retires, people are saying that Pop's going to retire too. So we'll never know how Popovich could do without a Tim Duncan. You know what I mean? So all these great coaches, the Pat Rileys, they've all had great players. But with that being said, I just want to say Spoelstra has improved as a coach in my personal opinion. I don't know if you agree with me, but – you know, I can see growth in him as a coach. What do you guys think? Hustle, I'll start with you because I know you're a huge – you watch the Heat all the time. So what do you think about Spoelstra as a coach?
I mean, I think he did – like, you just brought up the perfect point. You know, he sat down better. But I just want to say one thing. Larry Brown was the only coach that I know that's a great coach that went without a great player. That's my personal opinion. I don't think the Pistons had a great player on their team. I think Rasheed Wallace, in my view, him or Chauncey Billups maybe been the best player on that team, but – that's a whole different argument. But
I've heard him use the counter argument, and I think that he's not the norm. He's an outlier. But even in that, during those times, Chauncey may not have been a great player, but he was playing at a certain level at
you,
that time.
You,
but
you
that's a whole
definitely
other
right
argument.
About that.
That's a whole other
right
argument. But what do you think about Spoelstra? Do you see growth in him as a coach? Do you think that he'll ever get credit?
Oh, definitely. I respect Spo because, you know, everybody thinks just because you have talent around you that it's easy. No, that's even harder in my opinion because, you know,
right,
is LeBron James, is D-Wade obviously was there before that, but is Bosh and LeBron James going to respect you enough? You haven't, I mean, won nothing as a head coach. Why should they respect you? Why should they listen to you? And I think that Spo, you know, he didn't back down from the challenge. Pat Riley said, look, I'm sticking with my guy. And Spo delivered. He delivered a championship with that team. So, and he has him on the verge of winning another one. So I think he definitely has grown a lot. And then what you just said, the Battier. Man, I was sitting in front of my TV like, please sit Battier down. The dude's not hitting no shots.
and he didn't just sit him. He sat him for the whole. I don't think Betty got in the game in Game 7. And if he did, it was at the very end when it was garbage time. So I mean, I think Spo is definitely growing as a head coach, and I have to say I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of Pat Riley. It shows Pat Riley's genius just to stick with his guy because he knows what he's capable of.
Yeah. So, Mo, what is your opinion in terms of this whole thing with Spo? You think Spo is growing as a coach?
He took my answer. Nah. But I agree with both of you. Like Hussle said, the hard part is balancing the stars. It's not just about you got three stars on your team, so you're just going to win. If that's the case, they would have been winning. Like, they would never lose. So it's the balance of knowing when to play who and how to play who and who to put who on what, you know what I mean? And learning your players and knowing to be able to read them, like, saying, you probably need to sit down. I know you probably want to, but you need to sit down. You know, that's growth as a coach, and that's what makes the great coaches and the not-so-great coaches. Because some coaches just, you know, you become a punk B.I. because you got a star on your team, and you're like, what you mean you ain't put me in the game? You know
shout out
I mean?
To Mike Brown.
I was just getting ready to say that.
Here's the thing, Hustle, I don't think he's a bad coach, but I know it in Cleveland, and a lot of players have said it as well, that he pretty much let LeBron do what he wanted and back down from LeBron a lot. A lot of players have said it. I mean, Delonte West, I've heard Shaq say it, that when Mike Brown was in Cleveland with LeBron, and LeBron said, yo, I'm not doing this, it was like, cool.
Right, yep, and I was just getting ready to say Mike Brown on the side.
Wow,
but it takes a lot to say, because you got to think, it takes a lot to be like, LeBron, sit down. Because LeBron is LeBron. You know what I mean? You got to be a coach with your kahunas intact to be like, actually, I need you to sit down. And that's going to be it. You play your game to win. Because everybody ain't winning every night.
We got a couple comments. Just one comment that was made by @KCMack on Twitter. He said that David West and Chris Paul are very close friends. They played in New Orleans together, and they're very close friends. So one of the rumors is Chris Paul possibly going to be the point guard for that team. So, you know, that's just a rumor. But and also another funny comment in the chat room, Jetty Mar says that if you look at the series, right, the coaching, the Spurs probably have the better coaching. Overall backcourt is probably the Spurs. The bench is probably the Spurs. But the Heat, even the front court is probably the Spurs, but the Heat are still the favorite. and to Jetty Mar's point, the reason the Heat are their favorite, if you look at every position on the floor, like, you know, front court, back court, coaching, bench, like he just did, the Spurs probably are their favorite, but the reason the Heat are their favorite is because of LeBron, Ramon, James. Because, I mean, at the bottom line, like I made this point on our YouTube channel, it's just his time. It's his time. So it's kind of hard to pick against him. But we got, you know, a couple minutes left. We got about 5 minutes left. Let me just get your prediction for the series. Oh, before we even get to your prediction, we got a call from 818. 818, you got about 2 minutes. What's going on?
Hello?
Yo, 818, what's going on? What's your name? Where you calling from?
I was Ralph from North County, B. What's up, man?
Rob, what's good, homie? How you?
I'm good, man. Yo, my fault. I wanted you to finish what you were saying, but what does the Spurs have to do to slow down LeBron?
All right, great question. Let me pose that to my panel tonight. Hustle Simmons, in your opinion, if any, how could the Spurs possibly slow down LeBron?
My thing would be not to try to slow down LeBron. Let LeBron do him and shut down the supporting cast. Because LeBron's going to get him regardless. He's going to get him regardless.
And listen, I don't even
know
what else to say.
No one man can't win. Let him get that off and get everybody
Rob,
else.
Mojo and Hustle said the same thing. I talked to my brother B. Austin yesterday, and he said that the Spurs should do this. Let LeBron do what he's going to do and shut everybody else down. And, Rob, if you remember, when Cleveland played the Spurs in the finals, that's exactly what Popovich did. He let LeBron go ham and shut everybody else down because you cannot win the finals with just one player. But, Rob, before we get you out of here, what's your prediction for the series, Rob?
Oh, man. Man, I think the Spurs could take it.
Okay.
In seven.
Seven games, bro.
Wow.
You on the record, Rob. Make sure you check in with us again next week. We'll see how the series is going. But we got you on the record, Rob.
Yeah, because it's going to be a good one. Hey, let the fly fest begin.
Hey, Rob, we got a couple minutes left, Rob, but thanks for your call. And check in with us again next week because we got you on the record now, Rob, all right?
All right.
All right, take it easy, homie.
All right, peace, y'all.
All right, so now we got the caller chiming in, giving his prediction. Jetty Mar, Snowman, y'all in the chat room, what's y'all prediction for the series? But real quick, let me get your guys' prediction for the series. Hustle, how do you see the series going? How many games and who's the winner?
Okay, let me say this. You just broke down the percentage. I think that the Heat are going to win game one. I also think the Heat's going to win game two, and they're going to hold serve at home. So you just said, what, it was 80% that most of the time, 90%?
Close to 90% once you go up 2-0. Yeah, the home court. Yeah.
Okay, so 90%. I'll say this. Game three will be everything for the Spurs. The Spurs better win game three, which I think they will. But with that being said, they will not win the series. The Heat will win the series in six games. Y'all got me on the record.
Game. You on a record of Heat in six. Mojo, what's your opinion?
Yep. I'm on the record as saying San Antonio has the better matchup. I don't care about LeBron. San Antonio.
Now, is this your heart talking or your head talking? Let's answer that.
Yeah,
first.
That's my head talking.
No, it's my head talking. Like,
okay.
Like you said, they have a better matchup. If you think about just matching up, you know.
No, you're right. You're right. But I think
they have the better matchup.
I think LeBron outweighs all that, but. Yeah, but just to your point real quick before you give us your predictions, in our chat room, Jetty Mar says he wants the Spurs to win, but he's also picking the Heat in six. And I think a lot of people are like that. Like, you know, it's what your heart says and what your head says. But Mojo, go ahead and finish your pick. You like the Spurs.
Spurs in six.
Damn!
Hey, let me say this. I disagree with everybody saying that. I actually think Miami got the better bench.
Do you?
I honestly do.
I think it's closer to people.
Mike Miller, they're a better bench.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's closer than people say, but it depends upon what shows up. Like, Ray Allen has the tendency not to show up in the playoffs. Like, I don't know what's going on with him. But, like, in Game 7, Ray Allen was on point, so I'm not going to hold you. But he has a tendency not to show up, but when he does show up, that changes the whole dynamic of the team.
But look at this, Jimmy. You just said, you know, people have been there. Ray Allen's been there. LeBron and all been there. Outside of Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan, who's been there?
Is this true?
Is Kawhi Leonard going to step up? Is Danny Green going to step up?
This is true, but it's also the core of their team. So anyway, we got the predictions. My prediction, I'm going to have to stick to it because I said it on a YouTube channel. I have the Miami Heat in six. I'm just hoping for a great seven-game series. I want to see it coming down to seven because I want to see when it's nut-hugging time, who steps up. I love seven-game series. I think that it's just LeBron's time, and there's nothing we can do about it. You know what I mean? With that being said, thank you guys for, you know, coming and hosting the show with me today. It's time for us to get out of here. You know, so I want to thank my panel today, Mojo of the Season Ticket, as well as Hustle Simmons, Nothing But Sports on Black Flag Radio. We'll tweet out their links and, you know, so everybody can take a listen to what they're doing in this internet sports world. But thanks for joining us in the warm today, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, all the callers, those I couldn't get to. I apologize, but thanks for calling anyway. Tune in same time, same place next week. We'll be in the midst of the NBA Finals, and we'll see what's going on. Until then, enjoy the first few games and whatever else you're watching over the sports week. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook and Twitter and watch our videos on warroomsportstv.com. Until next time, everybody, you know our motto. Don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We shall see you chumps on top.
6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's knocked out. Call it 323-14-0012. If you're going and you're sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop scholars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.